everybody. It's just a blessing to see each and every one of you here tonight. Everybody get their Baptist nap this afternoon? Not me. I was afraid to go to sleep. I didn't sleep. I stayed up. But tonight I'm going to be smart. I have a verse counter that I designated. Miss Donna is going to be my verse counter. She's going to let me know if I hit every verse in 2 minutes. So we're ready to go tonight. If you would, stand with me and sing 628. I'm on the wrong song. 628.
Sure.
I'm getting ahead of myself. 628. The fight is on. When y'all stand, we'll sing together. Eyeglasses and see what's really transpiring. We need to pray. We need to go forward on our knees, especially. So I'm going to ask Brother Ralph, would you open the service with a word of prayer, please?
Father, again we come to you tonight, thanking you for the opportunity to be in your house again.
Yes, sir.
We pray that you would continue to guide and direct us in the way that you have us go. Be with us. Be with our pastor as he preaches again tonight, that you would use him to encourage and strengthen our hearts. We pray that your spirit would speak, and that areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you would be pointed out. And may we be willing to make those things right and do what will please you. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Please remain standing. We're going to sing 671. 671. You know, early this morning, Brian said about how unworthy he was to be up here. Pastor, the same thing. And I'm sure Brother Ralph feels the same way. But I count it an honor and a privilege to to even be in the company of these men and all the rest of the people in this congregation. Because if there's anyone that doesn't deserve heaven, it's me. You know, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, and that's exactly how I feel. That's why I'm so thankful for this church. I just said this before probably, and I don't want to be redundant, but you know, sometimes the road gets a little hard and we get a little weary. And God gave us brothers and sisters to help us along.
Amen.
Amen. 671, rescue the perishing. Wednesday for the picnic, September 4th. One other announcement. Brother Chris is asking for help on August 28th. It's a Saturday to help unload the pod he's got coming back from San Francisco with the things he has loaded in there. So he's asking for any help on that Saturday. Is it still 10 o'clock, brother?
I'm thinking 9 o'clock.
9? Okay,
yeah,
9 o'clock.
At least be available by
that. Okay. So Lord willing, 9 o'clock on Saturday the 28th. I forgot to mention this too. Lord willing, August 29th, which is that Sunday, that Sunday night is a fifth Sunday. So what I'd like to do is just do another fifth Sunday singing, or we just sing that Sunday night. So what I'd like to also do with that, if you're able, if you're not, that's fine. But if you're able, I'd just like, if we could just bring some, maybe some finger foods, we'll just do the singing and then have a little bit of fellowship afterwards, just some time together that Sunday night, August 29th. And so I forgot to mention that this morning. I was thinking about it when I was sitting there. Also, Lord willing, the public outreach will still go on. Lord willing, we'll probably be out. Melanie and Ellen and I will be out of town starting this Thursday. I'm going to try to head down to South Carolina. Please keep my father in prayer. I'd like to try to stop by and see him. He's not doing well health-wise. So we're going to try to head down there and see him. And then also, Sister Nancy, you know, she says thank you. For all the church has done, for the love offering that she received. I know she's very grateful for it. So if you can continue to keep her in prayer, Brother Dennis in prayer, and the rest of the family in the prayer with the loss of their brother, husband, and father. And just keep that family in prayer. Lift them up this week before God and what they're going through. And also, just to make some clarifications about the cleaning schedule. Some of it, I believe it's my mind the way it thinks sometimes. So the way the cleaning schedule is set up, if you sign up on it, it's the week leading up to that date. So this August 15th, it's the week leading up to August 15th that you clean it, not 15th and after that week. So just to clarify any different thoughts on it, some thought it was the week after the 15th, some thought it was the week before. So just to clarify, if you're going to sign up for the cleaning, it's the week preceding up to that specific date, if that makes sense. If you have any other questions, just ask me after the service, and I'll try to explain a little better. That way we don't mess up the sign-up sheet. So, again, if you have any questions about that, please see me about it. And, again, thank you, Sister Gloria, for taking that and setting that up for us. I believe that's all I have this evening as far as announcements go. Just keep one another in prayer. You know, the fight, that song, I appreciate that song, is one of my favorite songs. The fight's on. Fight on, O Christian soldier. The devil like to do nothing to destroy us, to mess us up, and to get us to quit, and to get everybody divided, and divide and conquer. And so just keep fighting a good fight of faith, and let's go on and serve the Lord.
Amen. As you're still seated, you can remain seated for a bit. We'll stand in a moment, but we're going to sing 624. What I want you to do is, as you're turning there, just turn around and look in the congregation. Just look at one another. Kind of just check everybody out. I'm asking you for a reason. The song we're going to sing is Count Your Blessings. And right in here, I see about 34, 35 Amen. Blessings. Amen. Brothers and sisters that love one another, and they're walking the same road we're walking. We are blessed, and we are blessed indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We are blessed. So let's all stand. We'll sing together. 624. Count your blessings.
suffer rejection and pay for crimes he had not done. For what earthly reason would his father let him hang on a tree? I wept with the answer that one earthly reason was me. I was the reason, that one earthly reason. I was the guilty. He was the sacrifice. I was the of angels were not summoned from their home up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be that sweet lamb of glory, and his only reason was me. I was the reason, that one earthly reason. I was the guilty. He was the sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the giver. Dying while I go free. That one earthly reason was me. I was the reason, that one earthly reason, dying while I go free. That one earthly reason, that one earthly reason, that one earthly reason was me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you take your Bible real quick and look over at Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse number 12. Revelation 12, 12. Revelation 12, 12. Now the verse that I'm getting ready to read here, this is not what I'm preaching on tonight, but this thought came to my mind when I was sitting there. And just the songs that were sung tonight. When you look at Revelation 12, 12, this is a yet to occur. It's in the future. But it says in Revelation 12, 12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. We're not there yet. We're not there to that specific event yet. But I believe the devil knows the time is short. I really do believe that. I believe the devil knows the time short. I mean, you think about it. Even if the Lord came back at this very moment, then the devil's got 7 years left. And then he's going to be bound for 1,000. So, in the reality of time, there's not a lot of time left. You know, Paul and them were saying they're looking for the coming of the Lord 2,000 years ago. Where are we at in 2021? Getting ready here very soon to go into 2022. We're not far off. And all you have to do is look around the world, and the world is almost in a state of chaos. It's getting close. There's a lot of countries around the world that are getting to a position where things are getting chaotic for them. I'm talking about government-wise. Venezuela is one. South Africa is in an issue right now. Haiti's in an issue. You got a lot of nations around the world that are kind of in a chaotic state. But the Bible says here, Revelation 12:12, the devil knows that he has but a short time. Well, what is he going to do if he has a short time? He's going to pour out his wrath. And where is his wrath going to be poured out first? The church, the body of Christ, until we're taken home through the rapture. Till we're taken home, and then that wrath is going to turn from the church to Israel. The devil hates two entities. He hates the church, and he hates the nation of Israel. Can't stand either one of them. God's chosen people. So take your Bible this evening. If you're able to stand, we're going to continue our study in 1 Thessalonians. If you're able for the reading of God's word here. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3 and verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Actually, we'll pick up. We'll start in verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Paul says here, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Verse 5, this evening, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord, again, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for all your blessings. Lord, thank you, Lord, for just all that you do for us. Thank you for the food we had to eat today, Lord. Thank you for the clothing that we have to wear. Thank you for this church building. Thank you for air conditioning, Lord. Thank you for our vehicles. Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can walk around, that we can see, that we can hear, we can taste. Lord, thank you for our very breath, Lord, and the opportunity to strive and to live for you. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor. It is a privilege, Lord, dear God, to lay up treasures in heaven. And Lord, help us to be about your business. Lord, help us to redeem the time. And Lord, help us to stay faithful. Lord, I ask now that you'd help us as we look at these verses. Dear God, help our minds and our hearts to receive them. Lord, that we apply it, dear God, and we would draw closer to you in these last days. Just help us to stay faithful. Help us not to quit. Help us to be about your business. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul says here, and we looked a little bit last week about how Paul's talking about that no man should be moved by these afflictions, and knowing that we're appointed to afflictions, to tribulations. But Paul goes on to say in verse number 5, for this cause when I could no longer forbear. He couldn't forbear. He couldn't stand being away from the brethren there at Thessalonica. And he sends Timotheus unto them. He says here, I sent to know your faith. He says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. We ought to have, again, a care for one another, to be there for one another, to pray for one another, to strengthen one another. Take your Bible and look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. I'm being self-conscious tonight. I had to take off my suit jacket so that I don't button it and unbutton it. Because I guess another preacher used to do that. And this individual would just say, either keep it buttoned or keep it unbuttoned. You know, I was telling some brethren this morning, you know, the reason I roll my sleeves like this is because of my old pastor's wife. Because when I used to lead the singing, I would roll my, because down in South Carolina, it's hot. You don't hardly ever wear a suit jacket because it just gets hot. Especially if the air condition isn't working well. So I would roll up my sleeves, but I'd roll them up on the outside. Well, I got word from the grapevine that the pastor's wife, she likes it when my pastor rolls up his sleeves on the inside. So that's why my sleeve, there's a story behind it. That's why my sleeve, so I wanted to, you know, that's what she likes. That's what I like to do. But, you know, so if I have a suit jacket on, I probably will wear a suit jacket again while I'm preaching. Please forgive me if I am. Sometimes you get preaching and you just don't think that you got a pen in your hand, you're clicking the pen, or you. So now I'm going to try to stay still tonight, which is hard for me to do too. To stay behind this pulpit, that's hard for me. So if I stay behind a pulpit, I'm doing pretty good. But here, you know, you have love. You know, it's a blessing to where you can laugh. It's a blessing to be able to laugh. God's given us humor. God's given us humor. God's given us things to laugh at. God's even given us things to laugh at in his creation. Now look, have you ever seen that monkey? I don't know, some of you know what I'm talking about. You ever seen a monkey that has that huge nose that you could like squeak it like it's a little horn? That's funny. And I don't know if it's the same monkey or not, but there's a monkey. It might be the same monkey that's got the pink rear end. Is it the same one? It might be the same one. Brethren, you tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. Now, I know some people go to the zoo and be like, you should be. It's funny. God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. God has made things that look regal and you don't want to mess with it, like a bald eagle. You don't laugh at no bald eagle. That thing is just regal looking. Like you don't want to mess around with a bald eagle. But then you take that monkey and he's got a red rear end and he's got a big old nose. It just looks all funny. God created that way for us to laugh. You see, humor is good. Humor, to be able to laugh is a medicine. It's good to the soul to just be able to laugh. Not only just be able to laugh at other things, being able to laugh at yourself. A lot of people can't laugh at themselves. They're too prideful. And I'll give you plenty to laugh at the longer I'm here. I'm telling you what, I'll give you plenty to laugh at. One of the first sermons I preached here on sheep, I messed that thing up. Ship. I said all kinds, and my kids were dying back at home because my wife said, listen what daddy said. You got to be able to laugh. You got to be able to laugh at yourself. You got to be able to be able to have a sense of humor. Because there's a lot of heavy things going on in the world and in our lives and in our families. So if God provides an opportunity to just laugh a little bit, take it and laugh. If you lose your ability to laugh, then I'm afraid you're in a serious spot. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5, says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he hath comforted you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. You see the encouragement that the church at Corinth was to Paul and what he was going through. You know, Paul, people look at Paul and, and think, well, he was a great ambassador for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was. But Paul struggled with things. Paul was just like you and I. Paul was a man that God used, and Paul allowed God to use him. Paul allowed God to use him, but it came at a cost. You see, Paul, he says in verse 5 that their flesh had no rest, and Paul says to the brethren there that they had trouble on every side. And Paul says, without were fightings, and Paul says, within himself there were fears. He said, nevertheless, because of these things, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You see, Paul received comfort when Titus came back to him. And not only did he have comfort by seeing Titus again, he had comfort by the message that Titus brought back from the church at Corinth, that they had an earnest desire towards him, and that they mourned for him, and they had a fervent mind towards him. And that caused Paul to rejoice the more. Paul realized, Paul was assured of, that the brethren were thinking of him, praying for him, and they had a fervent mind towards him. We ought to have the same thing one towards another. Look back over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the latter part of verse number 5. Paul says here, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. The tempter come in and try to tempt you. The tempter trying to come in and to destroy, to split up, to cause doubt, so that the labor bestowed upon the church there at Thessalonica would be destroyed or fall to nothing. You see, the tempter, the devil, knows what's going on. Now, one thing to realize this evening is that the devil can only be in one place at one time. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil can't be in all places at all times, and he doesn't know all things. He's not God. He is a created being. So the devil can't be in every place. A lot of Christians say, well, the devil's messing with me. Probably not. It's probably not the devil messing with you. I'm referring to Satan or Lucifer. He's probably got bigger fish to fry and bigger fish to deal with than you and I. But you have devils who do his work. And they can come in and they can try to cause division. They can try to cause strife. They can try to cause problems within a church. One thing that I'm thankful for is that a lot of visitors have been coming to church. It's been a blessing. There's not a lot of churches that are open anymore on Sunday nights. And then the churches that are open on Sunday night usually have a handful of people. It is a blessing to have this many people come to church on a Sunday night. I had an individual say to me today, you have church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? Like it was some new thing that it's even possible to have church on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night. But thank God for this church that these you brethren are faithful to come to the house of God to hear the word of God. A lot of churches don't have that today. Because I believe the tempter's come in and he's dissuaded and he's caused issues, he's caused problems, and he's dangled the things of this world in the eyesight of believers. Paul says here, lest, because there is the possibility that the tempter can come in and tempt you, and then the labor be in vain. I have nothing to give you. I, as Chris Welton, have nothing to give you. But what the Holy Spirit gives you through the Word of God and what He speaks to your heart, allow it to work and it not just be done in vain. Let it work through your life. Let God work through your life so that it just doesn't go in one ear and out the other ear. It does no... I shouldn't say... Understand what I mean by this. It does no good just to come to church, sit here, go home, and be the same. Week after week, year after year, decade after decade, however long. That does no good. What does good, what God takes pleasure in, is to see the growth of his child. Lydia is a little girl here. And I miss the days when my daughter, when I could do that with my daughter right there. I miss those days. But would I want her to stay in that constant state? No. I want to see her grow up and be a woman that loves God. But you enjoy that state when your children are that age and that young. You enjoy it. You love it. You like when they're at the stage. But a good father, a good mother, a good grandparent, a good relative or whoever, if they really love them, they don't desire for them to stay in that stage for the rest of their life. Hopefully Jason desires to see her grow up. And it's the same thing that God desires in our life. God desires for us to, in lack of better words, to grow up. To grow up. To not be stuck in the stage of a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, but to mature and become stable and steadfast Christians and soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here, lest our labor be in vain. Why? Because of the tempter and his temptations. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Look what Paul tells this church here, the church there at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. So what that's telling me is that the church could be susceptible to where the Satan gets an advantage of them. To where he influences what's done rather than God influencing what is done. You see, the devil can still work in a Christian life. Just because we get saved, just because we love God, just because we have the right Bible, doesn't mean that the devil can no longer mess with us anymore. In actuality, I believe the more we try to draw closer to God, the more the enemy is going to try to dissuade us and cause us to quit. You see, the closer you get to the front lines, there's more of an opportunity to get hit. The more you get into the battle, the more there is an opportunity to get hurt, to get wounded. Brethren, I pray I don't do this, but there might be a time to where I'm going to say something that's going to hurt you. And I don't mean it. I'm going to say something, I'm going to do something that's going to offend you, that's going to hurt you, that's going to maybe cause you pain. But as a family strives to go closer together and go forward in the fight for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's opportunities for hurt. Any close family, if they're honest, are going to have issues. Any marriage is going to have issues, or else it's not a real marriage. If you're honest tonight, and you've ever been married, and a husband and wife, you haven't always got along over everything. You haven't always agreed about everything. But you still love one another and you still go forward. You know what makes a relationship strong? Putting the other before yourself. In a marriage, you know what makes a marriage strong? Putting the other before yourself. You know what makes a church strong? Putting your brother or your sister before yourself. You taking the wrong, you taking the hurt, rather than trying to point a finger back on a brother or sister. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul's telling this to a church. The devil will use devices to try to get an advantage over the believer. Flip over to chapter 11, the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul states, he says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Again, here we see the serpent, we see the devil trying to cause issues within the church, specifically when it comes to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. He beguiled Eve. The word beguiled means deluded, imposed on, misled by craft. The devil beguiled Eve. The serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, through craftiness. May we not allow the same thing to occur in our life by the enemy. Take your Bible and look over at James chapter 1, verse number 12. James chapter 1 and verse number 12 through 15. James 1, 12 through 15. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we were not ignorant of his devices. He beguiled Eve through subtlety." Paul tells the church there in Thessalonica, "I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know what will bring death to a service? By someone being drawn away by their own lusts and enticed. May God help us to put sin to death in our life and to live through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, because sin brings forth death. Let us not be ignorant of the enemy's devices and of his temptations. Galatians chapter 1, talking about the latter part of that verse, "lest our faith," or what Paul has taught and put forth, "be in vain." Look what he says to the book of Galatians, to the church there. Chapter 1 and verse number 6. It's amazing to see the theme that you'll see through the epistles that Paul wrote. Look what he says here to those at Galatia. He says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." How quickly they're moved away from the gospel that Paul preached to them unto another gospel, which verse 7 says, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Take your Bible, look over to chapter 4, verse number 4. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God," or rather are known of God, "how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Paul tells the church there in Galatia how soon they were removed to another gospel. How they struggled with circumcision and how they thought that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And here Paul tells me, he says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And how they were trying to observe days and months and years. And Paul says, I'm afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Take your Bible, look over at the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul tells the church here, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Here it is again, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Don't let the labor be in vain. Don't let the labor be in vain. Back to 1 Thessalonians, we'll finish up here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. I want to close with a few thoughts this evening. Brother Glenn kind of mentioned it and brought it up. Make an effort if you have, this only applies to you if it applies to you. If it don't apply to you, then just let it go in one ear, out the other. But those that are members of Ray Street Baptist Church, let us make an effort to know everyone that's in the church. Yes. Members that are members of Ray Street Baptist Church, let us make an effort to make sure we know everybody that's in the church. I believe it will build strength. It'll build strength. It'll build unity. A 3-4 cord is not easily broken. You know, I forget what kind of ant it is, but there's an ant that when they're faced with water or whatnot, they'll all group together and make a ball. They'll all ball up like thousands and thousands of ants. They'll come together and make this ball. And if they're floating away, they'll rotate it so that they can all breathe and survive the flood that may come upon them immediately. That's the way a church needs to be. I'll try to do better as a pastor. I'll try to do better as a pastor to make sure I contact each one of you every Sunday. I try. Sometimes it's hard because people want to talk and things like that. But I try to make an effort. I'm trying to make contact with each one of you. At least if even it's to put my hand on your shoulder. There's a reason why I do that. Because I believe a shepherd needs to touch the sheep. A shepherd needs to be there for the sheep. But the sheep need to be there for one another as well. Paul says here, look what Paul says. I'm about done tonight, but God help us to see this principle here. The principle of a desire so much to see one another when they were separated from one another. We ought to have such a desire to want to be in church, not only to worship first and foremost our Savior, but to be with one another. There ought to be such a yearning in the heart that I can't wait to get to church to see my brethren, my fellow believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here, he says, He says in verse 6, "Now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye," he says, he's saying, "you brethren in Thessalonica, ye had good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." Both parties had an earnestness and a desire to be with one another. That makes a strong church. That makes a strong church. For me to have an earnest desire to want to be with you, and you have that same earnest desire to want to be with me, even though all of us have shortcomings, that earnestness and that desire to still be there. Love. Love and charity. Love and charity. Love and charity. Therefore, brethren, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, because of these things, because of your desire for each other and for me and for you, Paul says in verse 7, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord." This good word report brought back to Paul by Timothy encouraged him in his afflictions that they were still in a fight. By the Thessalonians, the church there in Thessalonica, by their desire, by their not dropping what Paul taught them, that his labor was not in vain, that they were still loving the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were still going forward, though afflictions and persecutions were coming upon him, though they were still praying for Paul. When this word was received back to Paul, it encouraged him in his afflictions, in his trials, and he was comforted by them because of their love towards him. That's the same for us. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to lift one another up. We ought to strengthen one another, encourage one another. Because you never know what a word may do, both for good and for bad. That's why, brethren, I'm almost done here, but this thing's weighed heavy on my heart for weeks, not with me. I'm not talking about you tonight. I'm talking about me. And my attitudes. God's been popping me upside the head and trying to get me to realize, Chris, your words and how you say things affect people. Sometimes I can come across with a critical spirit and God's dealing with me about it. God's dealing with me the way I talk to my wife. God's dealing with me the way I talk to others. God's dealing with me about these things because God desires for us to have the right attitudes. I'm almost done this evening. But if we come in and we have an attitude, it will quench the Spirit of God. It will quench the Spirit of God. We can keep on singing. We can praise God. We can lift our hands. We can have all the right words. We can have the right Bible. But if our attitudes are wrong, it is a stench in the nostrils of God. That's why as you read through the Pauline epistles, you see love, charity, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, joy. You see all these things that God desires to be in our life, in order to be able to glorify him in the right way. Because, brethren, you just never know. You may say something the wrong way to the wrong person at the wrong time, and they can say, "That's it, I'm done." They might not say it to your face. They may keep the smile on. They may shake the hand. But they're going in their mind, "I'm done. I quit. Forget this. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of dealing with all this stuff. Forget the brethren. Forget the church. I'm done with this. I'm going to go do my..." Now, is it right? No. But can it happen? Yes. May God help us to watch our words and how we speak our words. This, I believe with all my heart, I am fully persuaded this evening that God puts a great emphasis on these things. The tongue is an unruly member and is a set on fire of hell. The tongue can be like a razor. The tongue can cut so sharp, I think you don't even realize you're cut till you walk away 10 seconds later. Going to cause problems. Man came up to D.L. Moody one time and said, "You said this wrong and you pronounced that wrong and you did this wrong in your preaching." He said, "Yeah, here, I got one of them and I'm trying to use it for the glory of God. What are you doing with yours?" D.L. Moody, right on with that thing. Yeah, that thing right there is what causes us all problems, that tongue. And God's been dealing with me about it. And I got a whole message typed, or a whole message on our words. I don't know when God's going to have me preach it, but I got one on bitterness, sourness, sweetness, and saltiness. All coming out the mouth. I say all that to close with this. We should love one another. We should desire to be there for one another. Not just in word, but in deed. I'd like to close with these verses. Look, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27 again. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Philippians 1, 27. Paul says here, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We're in the same boat. We all should be rowing the same direction because we're all in this thing together. Paul says, stand fast in one spirit and in one mind. For what purpose, Paul? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look over at chapter 4, same book, verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." You see how many things he put there in that one little verse? Brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, joy, crown, dearly beloved. You think he cared for them? He loved them. He loved the brethren there at Philippi. Lastly, look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. We'll close here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. 1 Peter 5, verse number 10 and 11. 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a better pastor, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a better pastor. Help me to love the sheep as I ought, Lord. And Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, you'd help the sheep to love one another. God, help us to strive together for the cause of Christ. Lord, help us to have charity. God, help me to have charity. Lord, help us to be of one mind, one body, Lord, in this fight. God, help our hearts, dear Lord. Lord, if our hearts are hardened, dear God, if our hearts are hardened, Lord, I pray you'd melt them. Lord, if there's any hard heart in here tonight, dear God, I pray you'd melt it. Lord, if there's any hurt in here this evening, dear God, that's caused pain, that's caused bitterness, that's caused strife, that's caused a callousness, Lord, that's caused a wall to be put up amongst certain brethren or whatever may be the case, dear God, you know. Lord, I pray you'd break down those walls, dear God. I pray you'd soften hearts and spirits, dear Lord. Lord, that we can strive together in these last days we're living in. Lord, help us as believers to love you and love one another. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for your love towards me. Lord, I thank you for putting up with me. Lord, I just thank you for putting up with me. Lord, help us now through this week. Help the brethren as they go to their jobs, Lord. Help us to be about your business. Help us to be a light and a testimony. Lord, keep everybody safe as they travel and go here and there. Lord, deal with lost loved ones that we all have in here tonight, dear God. Lord, I pray you deal with lost loved ones. God, if any truth's been given to them by family members that are here tonight, Lord, I pray you bring it to their remembrance this evening, dear God. Lord, I pray you bring back the words of truth that were spoken into their ears and you'd bring conviction upon them, Lord, and they'd see truly where they stand with you. God, I pray you help the families in here in our church that are struggling with health issues. Lord, I pray tonight specifically, Lord, also for Derek. Lord, I pray you'd help him. I pray you'd help the Coles, Lord, strengthen them. Encourage them, Lord. Dear God, help them. Help Derek, help his wife. Help his children, Lord, tonight. Help Miss Nancy. Help Dennis. Help Brother Les's children, dear God. Lord, help the visitors that came out this morning, dear Lord. Lord, that are struggling with some major health issues. Lord, I think of Gary, dear God, I pray you'd help him. Lord, help this church, dear God, to love you. And I thank you for what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, brethren. I hope you have a good week. Please keep us in prayer as we, Lord, we're going to travel out Thursday. I'll miss you. And I'll be praying for you. Amen. Love you.